الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
نويت سنة الاعتكاف.
نويت سنة الاعتكاف.
Dearest Islamic brothers, topic of the bayan would be to remove some misconceptions and misunderstandings that why we go to mizarat of awliya Allah, why we travel, what is the need to do that. Now before we answer this question, we must realize that connection of believers with the pious people, with awliya Allah, is always exercised by all believing communities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with the truthful ones. And truthful people who are mentioned in Quran Kareem are awliya Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to join them, to be with them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to go and travel and visit Hazrat Uwais Karni radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Uwais Karni is not a sahabi, he is a wali of Allah in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was far away in Yemen. The whole journey traveling was not for any other reason or purpose but to meet a wali of Allah. So when awliya Allah, they live with their physical lives, we are ordered and encouraged by Quran, Hadith, and by the practice of pious Muslims that we must be with them. We must visit them, spend time with them. Because being with them, spending time with them, brings barakah, blessing and reform in your life. But when they pass away, then too, it is the practical consensus of Muslim Ummah. That pious believers always went and visited the graves of Awliya Allah. So the barakah which they used to find when these pious beings lived physically, they found that barakah after their demise as well. Hazrat Allama Ibn Abidin Shami Rahmatullah Ta'ala writes in the Muqaddama, in the preface of Fatawa Shami, he quotes the practice of Hazrat Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullah Ta'ala. He says that Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullah Ta'ala has said that whenever I used to have any problem or any difficulty, I would travel to Iraq, to Baghdad, and to make the ziyarat of the qabr of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. And I would read nawafil near the qabr, not keeping qabr in front. That's not jais. But near the qabr, on right side, on the left side, normally near the qabr of pious people, there are masajid. So masjids are built for people to read namaz and nawafil. So that's near the qabr. So he said that I would read nawafil near the qabr of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and will make dua with the wasila of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would solve my problem. So it's a practice of pious people. Who's Imam Shafi'i? Imam Shafi'i is not an ordinary person. He is Imam of millions of Muslims throughout the world. Millions of Muslims follow his fiqhi mazhab. And he was indeed a great wali of Allah. But he says, when I would face any problem, I'll go to visit the qabr of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. So in Muslim society, this is nothing new. But some thoughts and some notions are new. That people will come and say, why are you going to Mizar? Why are you going to Qabr? Why are you traveling? Why are you going to Baghdad? Why are you going to Ajmer? Why are you going to Bareilly Sharif? These people were pious people, good people. They lived. It was fine to go to them to get their company and ask them to make dua, etc. But when they died, then everything finishes. Then nothing is left. So why you still keep on going? Why you still keep on running? So now this is something that is new, that never existed. This notion, this thought is new. So when these kind of things come and people start talking, don't get worried. Because we follow the old Islam. We follow the Islam which was always there amongst Muslims. We don't follow the new ideas which are man-made ideas. This misunderstanding occurs because people don't know the meaning of death. If they can understand the meaning of death, then they would not have this kind of confusions in their minds. Keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with body and with soul. There are two things. Body has its own entity, and soul has its own independent entity. And this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the soul into the body and He has combined two together. Now, both are living. Body, when the soul is in the body, then both are living. And anything that's living requires nourishment, needs sustenance. Besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's living, but He doesn't need nourishment. But makhluk, the creation, needs. So, for body, there are foods. And for soul, there are foods. Now, the foods of the body come from the ground. Because the body came from the ground. Mitti se bana na jism. To mitti se iske khane aate. So, vegetables from the ground, wheat, gandum, chawal, rice, milli, all from the ground. Fruits, all from the ground. Meat, from the ground. It doesn't grow, but the animals, they eat the grass which grows on the ground, and then they live. So their survival is also based on ground. So, and then you breathe. And that air that you take inside is called oxygen. And who produces oxygen is the trees and the grass and the plants. So that also comes from ground. See the plan of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. The body is from the ground and He has fulfilled every need of the body from the ground. But then again, soul, ruh is also living, and every living thing, as I said, needs sustenance. Zinda cheez ko risk chahiye. So what is the risk and the sustenance of ruh? Can you feed bread, rice, biryani, korma to the ruh? Does the ruh eat all these things? No, ruh doesn't eat. Ruh doesn't require. Because ruh does not belong to ground. Ruh belongs to another world. Therefore, the food of the ruh also comes from the very same world from where the ruh comes. So now where the ruh comes from? The name of that world is Amr. What is the name of that world? We call it Alam-e-Amr. Now what is Alam-e-Amr? What is that world? That world is where no material is required to form something. You know, in the dunya, you always require something to make something. You want to make a house, you need bricks, you need cement, you need sand, you need steel, iron, so many things. You don't come and say, stand on the ground and you say, a house become, and the house becomes. How many houses have you built like this? So this is Alam-e-Asbab, where you need sabab, a reason to form something. So ruh is from that world, not from this world. So in fact, everyone, if you go to another country, to another place, you will only stay there if you are prisoned, sometimes a literal prison, sometimes the prison of greed, money. A lot of people will come from other country to South Africa thinking that the life is good here, or they'll make more money, or they'll go to America, they'll go to some other countries. There's always a prison. But if you have freedom, The freedom requires us go back to your country. Go back to the land which you love to bits and pieces. And where you are born and brought up, that is the place which you love the most. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imprisoned the soul in the body. But it still requires its food. And as I said, the food will not come from the ground. The food will come from alam-e-amr. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. O beloved, they are asking you about ruh. It's in Quran Kareem. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Tell them that ruh is from the amr of my Lord. This amr is the same alam-e-amr which we talked about. That's the world of amr. So ruh belongs to that world. So now we need to identify what is the food of the ruh. The food of the ruh is the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. What we know as zikrullah. Zikrullah is the food of the ruh. Now I can give further arguments to prove it logically that zikrullah is the food of the ruh. Now let's take an example. When you are hungry, what happens to you? You become restless. You become unfocused. You cannot concentrate. You cannot perform well. You hungry, you restless. Body is hungry, body is restless. So when you provide food to the body, then what happens? Satisfaction comes back. Itminan comes back. Ab aap concentration bhi kar sakte hain, ab tawajjuh bhi de sakte hain, ab negotiate bhi kar sakte hain. Now you're ready to take all the difficult tasks. So when you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your soul becomes hungry. And when your soul becomes hungry, your soul becomes restless. So you provide food to your soul, then your soul will get itminan and satisfaction. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in Quran Kareem. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. Be away with the dhikr of Allah. Souls get satisfaction. Ke bhookhi thi na, bechain thi. They were hungry, they were restless. So now you provided the food, you remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to unko khana mil gaya. So when they got the food, they came back to the condition of satisfaction. So those who don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are never satisfied. It doesn't matter how many millions they possess. They always have some fikr, some worry, some problem, some calamities, some issues. They have to take couple of pills, sleeping pills to sleep. They cannot sleep like a normal person. Ki Allah ko yaad nahi karte. So satisfaction nahi hai, to aram kahan se hoga? Where would they find satisfaction? Now this combination of body and the soul keeps the person alive. If I put it in simple words, if you ask me to define what is life in human form, I will say that if the soul is in the body, then the person is alive, and if the soul comes out of the body, then person is dead. So the engine of the body is the soul. You take the engine out from the car, now your beautiful luxury Mercedes Benz is bekar. Engine gone. So your soul is out, your powerful wrestler body, handsome, bekar. It's useless now, can't function, can't do anything. So this is death. Separation of soul from the body. If you go and ask medical doctor, he will say that when your heart beat stops and you have no pulse and there is no circulation of blood and there is no oxygen going through your body, then you are dead. That's the medical definition of death. But who was running the heart? The heart was pumping the blood into the body and giving oxygen to every part of the body. But who was running the heart? That was actually the Ruh. And when the Ruh came out, the heart stopped. When the heart stopped, the body is dead. So when the body is dead, then what happens? That everything that is attached to the body also dies. The attachments of bodies, movement, sitting, standing, circulation of blood, talking, you know, all these kind of things, these are signs of life. Person is sitting, eating, talking, drinking, doing something, you say he's alive. Or if he's not doing anything, even if he's unconscious, there's pulse. So you say, no, he's alive. But when body dies, everything that was attached to body also dies. But Ruh never dies. Ruh never dies. Actually, Ruh is separated from the body. Ruh is not dead. You must understand that. There's no proof in Quran. There's no proof in Hadith. There's no proof anyway. That death means the death of the body and the soul together. Death means the death of the body, not the soul. Soul is alive, and all the attachments of soul are also alive. Now we need to understand what are the attachments of soul. Risalat is the attachment of the Ruh. It's a ruhani excellence. It's not a bodily excellence. Ye badan ka kamal nahi hai, ye ruh ka kamal hai. Nabuwat is attached to ruh. Siddiqiyat is the excellence of the ruh. Shahadat, martyrdom is the excellence of the ruh. Salihiyat is the excellence of the Ruh. Vilayat is the excellence of the Ruh. Iman is the excellence of the Ruh. And Ruh is alive. And everything that is attached to Ruh is also alive. Which means Risalat is alive. Nabuwat is alive. Siddiqiyat is alive. Shahadat is alive. Salihiyat is alive and Vilayat is also alive. Ruh never died, Nabuwat never died, Risalat never died, Siddiqiyat never died, Shahadat never died, Salihiyat or Vilayat never died. Risalat is the quality of the Rasul. Isn't it? It is an adjective in the terms of English grammar. It is an adjective. An adjective depends on a noun. Without noun, there is no adjective. So, isko yun kehle ki ye sifat hai, aur sifat mausuf ke bagair nahi paayi jati. Ye Urdu walon ke liye main ye jumla bol lu. So it is a quality. And quality would not be found without personality. There must be a personality that the quality would depend on that personality. If there is no Rasool, there will be no Risalat. You understand that? If there is no writer, there is no writing. If there is no walker, there is no walking. If there is no seer, there is no seeing. If there is no hearer, there is no hearing. So you understand that? So if there is no Rasool, there is no Risalat. If there is no Nabi, there is no Nabuwat. If there is no Siddiq, there is no Siddiqiyat. If there is no Shaheed, there is no Shahadat. If there is no Salih, there is no Salihiyat. If there is no Wali, there is no Wilayat. But Risalat is there and living. So which means every Rasool is also there and living. Nabuwat is there and living. Which means that every Nabi is there and living. So every Siddiq is living. Every Shaheed is living. Every Salih is living. Every Wali is living. Even every believer is living, because belief, Iman, is not the attachment of the body. Iman is the quality of the Ruh. And Ruh does not die. So therefore, people are talking about whether Wali is alive or Wali is not alive. I will say, Wali is on a higher stage. We're not discussing Wali. Let me tell you that every believer is alive. Even after death, every believer is alive. Now, I'll give you evidence for that. Now, a person who might say, well, you know, these are philosophies and I don't want to accept this. When person dies, he dies. Don't say that, you know, every Wali is alive and every believer is alive. You know, you ask this question from the same person who's objecting. Ask him, brother, when you die, will your Iman die with your death? Or will your Iman be alive? If he says no, my Iman will be dead, because everything dies. Then if your Iman is dead, then angels come in the qabr and they ask, Mar Rabbuka? Who's your Lord? And who will say Rabbi Allah? Who will say my Lord is Allah, whose Iman is alive? When they will ask, Ma Deenuka? What is your Deen? And who will say Deeni al-Islam? My Deen is Islam. Is only that person whose Iman is alive. And when they will say, Ma kunta taqulu fi hadha ar-rajul, what you used to say about this personality, only that person whose Iman is alive, he will say, Huwa Rasulullah, he is the messenger of Allah. So if you say your Iman is dead, then you are unable to answer the question of Munkar and Nakir. And if you cannot answer the questions of Munkar and Nakir, there is no way that you are going to Jannat. Isn't it? That's the first test, and you must pass the test. And you say, no, I'm not going to answer. So if you're not going to answer, you're not going to pass the test. If you don't pass the test, then where are you going? Then the snakes and the scorpions are waiting for you in the qabr. But if you say, no, I will answer. How would you answer? You can only answer if you got Iman. Isn't it? So you have to believe that Iman is living. Your body is dead, but Iman is living. Now you are an ordinary person. And the quality of your ruh, which is iman, is living. But the quality of a person who is higher than you in spirituality, who is a wali of Allah, the quality of his ruh, vilayat, is dead. How would that be possible? So you don't make the law, you don't make the sharia, that whatever you decide, that will happen. You must be reasonable. Tumhare ruh ki sifat iman hai, wo to zinda rahe. Aur wali ke ruh ki sifat jo ke vilayat hai, wo mar jaye. How is this possible? So therefore everybody has to accept that iman doesn't die. And iman, if iman was attachment of the body, then the body is dead and its attachments are also dead. Then you have to believe that iman is dead. But you say, no, iman is not dead. That means you believe that the connection of iman is not with the body, connection of iman is with the ruh. The ruh nahi marti. The ruh ki sifte bhi nahi marti. Ruh zinda hai, ruh ki sari sifat bhi zinda hai. Therefore, every Rasul, every Nabi, every Siddiq, every Shaheed, every Saleh, every Wali, every believer is alive. So now, when a Wali was living and we were going to him to visit him, why were we going to him? Because he was handsome? Or why were we going to him? Because he was rich? Or why were we going to him? Because he had a very big langar khana and prepare nice foods and give food to every visitor. So let's go enjoy some seven-course meal. No. Why we used to go to him? Because of vilayat. What was the reason? Because of vilayat. And vilayat never died. So, if 900 or 1000 years ago, for example, more or less, if people went in the bargah of Sayyiduna Hazur Ghaus-e-Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was physically living, they went to him because of his vilayat. And today when they go to Baghdad Sharif, they go for the same reason, because very same vilayat of Sayyiduna Ghaus-e-Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu is still living and still powerful. Usme to koi nuksan nahi hua, usme to koi kami nahi aayi. Nothing has become weak in that department. In fact, it has become more powerful. You know why it has become more powerful? Because body came out of, the soul came out of the body, so soul came out of the prison. And when someone comes out of the prison, he becomes free. And free person is more powerful than the one who is in the prison. Isn't it? That's why people fight for freedom. They give lives for freedom. They give blood for freedom. They sacrifice for freedom because they know freedom is power and everyone wants power. So when the soul comes out of the body, it becomes more powerful. Have you heard the hadith Mubarakah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that when you bury a person in the qabr and when you leave the graveyard and you're going back, the deceased person in the qabr hear the sound of the footsteps of the people who are going back now up to 40 feet. Okay? How can he hear now? You put him 5-6 feet down in the ground, then you put some pieces of wood on top of it, and then somebody, old person said, oh no, there's a hole here. Make some mud and fill the holes. Koi surakh mat rakhiyega. And then every loved one, relative, friend made sure that they put sand on it. Tons of sand. And the when they level the ground, still too they said, no, let's put more. So make the shape of the hump of the camel. This is how the cover should be. So much sand. You didn't leave any hole in the cover, did you? Did you keep any hearing device in the cover? No, you did not. You're not allowed. Besides the coffin, some tabarrukat relics, if there are. And there's a procedure how to keep them. Don't just keep directly on the body of the deceased person. A window shape must be dug in front of the face of the person in the cover, and the tabarrukat and the relics must be put there. So now, there's no hole, there's no way that the sound can travel and reach the ears of that person, and on top of that you say he's a dead man. How can he hear now? If that hearing was with the ears of the body, it was impossible. I mean, let alone the person that's 5 feet down and tons of sand is upon him. You just take a living person and make him stand at the 40 feet distance and tell him, just put your fingers in your ears and you walk from here. I guarantee you, he will not be able to hear the sound of your footsteps. But how can a dead man can hear who's 5 feet down and tons of sand is upon him? So that tells you he's not hearing now with the ears of the body. Actually, he is now hearing with the ears of the ruh. Uski taaktein badh gayin. His powers have increased because the ruh has come out of the prison. So therefore, when the ruh of a wali of Allah comes out of the body, it becomes even more powerful, and the power of vilayat even increases. Because there are no more restrictions as they were before. Therefore, when Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala says, لَوْ كَشَفَتْ عَوْرَةُ مُرِيدِي بِالْمَشْرِقِ وَأَنَا بِالْمَغْرِبِ لَسَتَرْتُهَا. If my murid becomes naked and he is in the east and I'm in the west, I will cover him. When he said that? He said that when his soul was in his body. But when his soul came out of the body and became more powerful, then if you shout from Lodium or from Johannesburg and you say, Ya Ghaus al-Madad, then indeed he can hear your sound from Baghdad Sharif. And in spiritual world, there is no far and near. Ye dur nazdik jo hai na, ye jism ki jo dunya hai na, uske liye hai. It's for the world of the body, not for the world of the soul. So the fact is that awliya Allah are alive, anbiya are alive. I mean, for shuhada, Allah Ta'ala mentioned categorically in Quran Kareem, bal ahya'um walakin la tash'urun. The martyrs, the shuhada, they are alive. You don't understand. Kiski kamzori hai? Now, have you ever seen a martyr moving around in the bazaars here and there like me and you? So now you think the person who's living, he does what we do. But now you know, his death was confirmed. A martyr, his death was confirmed. Clinically, his death was confirmed. And some shaheed can be given ghusl, some won't. That's a detail, we're not going into that. But mostly, you know, you still give ghusl, you give kafan, you read janaza, you load his body in the qabr, you were seeing everything with your own eyes, and plus you put so much sand on top of him. How can you understand that person is alive? Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense. See, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. They are alive, but it doesn't make sense to you. You don't have that kind of intellect, that kind of understanding that you can comprehend. So when you can't understand, you must rather say, I don't understand. But don't say that they're not alive. Isn't it? So this should be the approach. You know, let me give you an example. If there is a lamp shining in a dark room, illuminating the whole room, you can see the light, you can see the noor all around. Now you bring a big patila, deg, pot, you come and put it upside down on the charagh, on the lamp. Aapne ulta karke patila, deg uske upar dal di. Now, if the question comes, is the lamp there or not there? So what's the answer? The lamp is there. Is the lamp shining or not shining? Shining. But I can't see. He says, but I can't see. Yeah, but before I could see, but now I can't see. So where is the problem? Now if he says, because I can't see, therefore the lamp is not there anymore, every person with common sense will tell him, listen, the lamp is there. Before it was uncovered, and now it is covered. So when it is covered, you can't see. So when you can't see, you must say that my eyes are not so sophisticated that can reach to the wall of the pot and tear the wall and reach to the lamp and then come back and give message to my brain to suggest that I'm seeing. This is how you see. Your eye falls on something, your sight comes back, gives message to your brain. So this whole process and exercise is called seeing something. Now it's your weakness, your eyes are weak. You can't see if there's a wall, you can't see on the other side. But there are people whose eyes are so powerful and their eyes are so sophisticated that they can see from hundreds and thousands and millions of miles. So, since they can see, they don't deny. Now, a blind person says during the day, middle of the day, he says, there is no sun. So now you want to follow his way. Or a person who can see tells you, there is sun. So your choice. Whose way you want to follow? There are a lot of blind leaders that they tell you, come, hold my hand. I'll help you to cross the road, this big freeway where, you know, trucks are coming on 200 miles speed, one after the other. Come and help you to cross the road. He will kill himself and he will kill you too. So now, those who have the eyes, they can see. Therefore, they won't say, Awliya Allah are dead. O Siddiq are dead. O Shaheed are dead. O Anbiya are dead. O Rasools are dead. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu al-Abbas Mursi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a great Shazli Wali. He used to live in Alexandria in Egypt. How far is Medina from there? Very far. There are a lot of trees in between, there are a lot of mountains in between, there are a lot of buildings in between. Person sitting there can't see what's happening in Medina. You know what he said, and his statement is recorded in many books of the Sabbuf. And the Sufi Akram, the pious people, they trusted his statement and that's why they quoted his statement. He said, لَوْ حُجِبَ عَنِّي Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, طرفت عین ما عددت من المسلمین. He says, if Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم disappears from my eyes to the extent of blinking of the eye, just that split second, I will not regard myself as a Muslim. So that means his iman, his Islam, and his believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his shahadat was so powerful that 24 hours without missing a moment, he was always looking at the beautiful face of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, he had those eyes. I don't have those eyes. You don't have those eyes. So acknowledge your weakness. Say, I can't see. But don't say that the lamp is not there. The right thing to say is, lamp is there, but I can't see. Isn't it? Anbiya are alive, but I can't see. Rasuls are alive, but I can't see. Siddiq, Shuhada, Salihin, Awliya, they are alive, and their function is alive, their vilayat is alive, their nabuwat is alive. I mean, how can anyone believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dead? I mean, if a person believes for a second that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dead, then the question is, whose kalima will you recite in that second? Because if he is dead, then there will be no risalat. And when there will be no risalat, then who will you say, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah? We can't afford to even remotely think about this belief, let alone believing in this notion that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. If he died, where is his function? How can a function happen without functionary? The functionary has to be there to perform the function. And his function is risalat. And risalat is happening. Every time when a person comes and he says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, when he recites shahada, when you revive iman of someone, when you give da'wat of iman to someone and you make him a Muslim, he becomes Muslim because of the living risalat of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Living risalat. So this is the reason that we present ourselves in the courts of pious people, awliya Allah, because the vilayat, that blessing, that barakah, which was always there, is still there. And that's the reason we go. And we are encouraged and motivated by our divine sharia that we should go and spend time in the company of pious people and take barakah from them, ask them to make dua in their company. Your heart changes, you reform, you become better Muslim, you make tawbah, and you start practicing the beautiful deen of Islam. Because the sohbat, the company, makes a very strong impact upon the character of a person. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the path of Ahlus Sunnah, because that's the path which was always there and practiced by mainstream Muslims in all ages, all centuries, all times. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, say, Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, say.